Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a pretty big topic.
We are indeed.
Looking at society through what some call a Trinitarian lens. We've got some really, well, fascinating material exploring how the Christian idea of the Trinity.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Right, how their distinct roles, but also their unity, might give us fresh ways to think about, well, everything from who we are as individuals right up to how history unfolds.
Mm-hmm.
So our mission today is really to pull out the key insights, you know, see how this perspective tackles some fundamental questions about how we live together.
Exactly. And the sources we're diving into, they start right there, posing these core philosophical puzzles about society.
Like what?
Well, things like, what is an individual, really? What makes relationships, you know, genuine? And how do we even make sense of the flow of history?
Right. Big questions.
Huge. And the central argument here is that these tensions, these questions, they find their perhaps most coherent answers when grounded in the Trinity.
In the relationship within God itself.
Precisely. The idea is that our individuality, our connections, the whole historical process, they all gain a certain richness and dynamism from understanding the persons of the Trinity at work.
Okay, so let's get into that. This concept of covenant seems really central. It's presented as inherently Trinitarian.
It is. Think about it. A covenant, this binding agreement, it's relational at its core. God making a covenant implies relationship, right? Even within God.
Uh-huh.
So whether it's the big covenant with all creation or specific ones like the Old Testament image of God and Israel.
Like a marriage almost.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. With Israel sometimes portrayed as unfaithful, or the New Testament picture of Christ and the church. These all reflect that kind of unified yet diverse relational action we see in the Trinity.
And that view of covenant changes how we see things like, say, baptism. I saw Ray Sutton contrast covenantalism.
Right. He sets it against nominalism, where symbols are just empty signs, and realism, where the power is thought to be in the physical thing itself.
So covenantalism is the middle path.
Sort of. It sees symbols like baptism as real signs of God's promise, his oath, but they require our faithful response. It's about the relationship signified.
Which ties into ethics, I suppose. It's not just rules, but faithfulness within that relationship.
That's a key implication, yeah. Living faithfully towards a relational God.
And Gary North even suggests the Ten Commandments have a Trinitarian structure that's pretty specific.
It is. He talks about a priest code dealing with God, transcendence, hierarchy, and a king code focused on God's image and authority in the world. It's an interesting way to map it.
Hmm. Okay, so how does this Trinitarian view reshape our understanding of, say, individuality, that classic tension between universals and particulars?
Well, M.C. Smith, another voice in our sources, argues that our unique meaning, our individuality, doesn't come from some static core inside us.
Right.
It arises more from the dynamic web of relationships we're in. It's connected to the Father's distinct calling for each person, sustaining unity even through change.
So less what I am and more who I am in relation to.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah. And that flows right into understanding relationships themselves. The sources push past seeing others just as separate objects.
Uh-huh. Yep.
True relationship, Smith argues, is grounded first in our shared creation in God's image, placing us all fundamentally in relation to him. History itself centers there.
And the Holy Spirit's role
is key in forming actual community, that shared life, the spirit of a group, connecting us through shared possibilities and transcendence. Jensen and Hart touch on this too.
Which brings us to history. It's not just a list of dates or static snapshots of society.
Right, not just chronicle, and not just the structural views like, say, the Annales school might focus on. Smith brings in this idea of transcendental time.
Linked to Christ?
Linked to Christ's death and resurrection, yeah. Offering a way to see development and meaning in history that goes beyond mere sequence or structure. McIntyre also offers some dimensions on montic, historical, ultimate, different ways to slice it.
Okay. Now, a really practical concept here seems to be sphere sovereignty. Kuiper. Do weird.
That's a big one. It's the idea that different spheres of life, family, business, church, art, the state, they each have their own God-given authority.
Not handed down from the state.
Exactly. They answer directly to God within their own domain. Do Weird really refined this, talking about how each sphere has its own unique character, its leading function. Mm-hmm. It supports a genuinely pluralistic society.
So you could apply this lens to, say, technology. or the media.
You could, yeah. Looking at the unique calling, the relational structures involved, the dynamic purpose of each, the sources touch on that briefly.
And finally, the state itself. What's the Trinitarian view there?
Well, its calling is highlighted promoting the common good, Romans 13 stuff. O'Donovan emphasizes that juridical function, justice, and order.
But it's more than just laws and history.
Right. From this perspective, the state also involves numerical aspects, spatial ones, ethical dimensions, even pistical dimensions relating to faith or belief. It's multifaceted.
So pulling it all together, this Trinitarian understanding seems to offer a really comprehensive framework.
I think so. It's a way to analyze society, tackle those big questions about individuality, relationships, history, by grounding it all in the relational nature of God himself. Hmm. It gives alternatives to views that are purely individualistic or materialistic, or that put the state at the absolute center.
The key takeaway, then, is this fundamentally relational way of seeing everything, rooted in the Trinity.
Exactly. And maybe a thought to leave you with is this. What might it look like practically if we really recognize these distinct social spheres, family, work, church, government, each with its own integrity, its own God-given authority? Could that kind of framework help us find a better balance, maybe avoid collapsing everything into the state or fracturing into just isolated individuals? It certainly gives you something to think about.